This is Chasing Wisdom, your source for conversation and serious ideas for those striving to become wiser leaders in business. Your host is Dr. Sam Serto. Sam is the Steinmetz Professor of Management in the Graduate School of Business at Rollins College in Winter Park, Florida. He also serves as a leader at Northland, a church distributed located in Central Florida. Along with leaders from various fields, our goal is to provide practical wisdom for those navigating real-world business challenges. Welcome to this conversation about how to become a wiser leader in business, Bible, and life.
Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Sam Serto, and you're listening to the Chasing Wisdom podcast. Here, leaders talk about business, Bible, and life to help all of us become wiser leaders. Today, our guest is Mary Elizabeth Saad. Ms. Saad is a key member of the Korn Ferry International Global CEO Succession Practice. Korn Ferry International, headquartered in Los Angeles, is an organizational and people advisory firm and the world's largest provider of executive search. Mary Elizabeth has a long track record of work with CEOs in creating senior teams that successfully deliver on the business strategy. During her 20 years in executive search, Ms. Saad has successfully led many searches at the top levels of organizations, including those for CEO, COO, President, and GM roles. Clients have spanned the Fortune 500 as well as private equity, and venture capital-backed companies, where she has also advised on broad talent management strategies. Prior to joining Korn Ferry, Ms. Saad was the President and CEO of Pinnacle Search Partners, an executive search firm with a global scope focused on CEO and other leadership positions in the industrial and packaging markets. In addition to her executive search and management succession and development work, earlier in her career, Mary Elizabeth has held leadership positions with GE Plastics and the Mobil Chemical Plastics Packaging Group. She is a Bachelor of Business Administration in International Business from the University of Georgia, and is fluent in Spanish. Welcome to the studio, Mary Elizabeth. It's an honor to have you here today.
Thank you so much, Santa. I'm very happy to be here.
Good. I think a good way to start your podcast will be for you to share a conversation that you had with your father about becoming wiser. I think everybody would be interested in that.
Well, I've never forgotten this conversation 30 years ago with my father. I finally asked him how he became so wise. I asked if he could give me that wisdom. And I always thought that he was smart, he was wise, he was well-spoken, and I just wanted that piece of him. And it was funny because he said he wished he could give it to me, but that it's really not pretty. He says it's not pretty because by the time you get wisdom, you're usually not pretty anymore. And, you know, I realized then that it's a process and it takes time and it takes seeking.
And it's a journey.
It is a journey.
It's a journey. And that's what this podcast series is all about, the journey of becoming wiser as you move on. Okay, tell us about Korn Ferry.
So Korn Ferry, it's a fantastic organization. We're number one globally. About 50% of what we do at Korn Ferry is in people advisory and consultancy. The other half is executive search. So I work on the executive search side. And in executive search, we have opportunities to work with our clients to seek out and find candidates, typically for C-level positions, that make a huge impact in the organizations.
So one of the things that I think everybody in the Orlando area would be interested in, and actually this podcast series is headquartered in Orlando, is your company's involvement with our NBA team here, the Orlando Magic. Could you tell us a little bit about your company's task here? I know it has to do with finding a new general manager for the club.
Yes.
What might that process look like?
Well, I'll speculate only because I'm on the industrial team, not the sports team.
Okay.
But we're very proud to have that. And typically our process, we engage with our clients very early on about alignment of what they need for the job at hand, as well as also for the future. So like you've been involved with board alignment work, we have to really net out what are the qualifications. And we have a network, and we're deeply involved in every industry that we work with. Who are the key people, and where's the talent, and where's the future talent? So, you know, our job is to stay well connected to that. So when we have an assignment like this, we will then align with what is our client looking for that is the future of the organization. And then we have to thoroughly vet, and we have some very nice assessment tools that we use that also help us sort out, you know, who are the best candidates, who can make the biggest impact in the culture, in the future, and driving the results that our client is asking for.
All right. Terrific. We have a feature called Sunday to Monday, and that feature in every podcast talks about what you might hear in church on Sunday or what you may have read in Scripture that you can take forward in your job situation. And one of the verses in Proverbs, actually it was a number of verses, but it's Proverbs 2, 1 to 5, talks about the process of becoming wiser. And it talks about finding out things regarding wisdom, much like a prospector pans for gold. And I was reminded of you and your company, and wondering if you went along with the notion that you are sort of helping companies pan for people who might be gold-like in their organizations.
That's exactly what we do. That is the best analogy, Sam. That's exactly what we do. And I would tell you that my colleagues, I'm sure, would agree, we can't take lightly what we have the privilege of doing for a living when it makes such a huge impact on the organization and on individual lives. And I say for generations to come, because often somebody's moving, they're moving their family, their children grow up in a different state or place or country than perhaps they would have otherwise. And that impacts. It's that ripple effect in the lake that that we're very conscientious of.
Awesome. You're in a corporate-based organization right now.
Yes.
A large corporation. And you've had a lot of experience in more of an entrepreneurial setting as well.
Yes.
And a lot of our listeners are entrepreneurs, and we don't want them tuning out.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
So could you tell us a little bit about your entrepreneurial background and the company you built and its impact on you as a leader?
I will. Thank you for asking, Sam. I didn't necessarily wake up one day or grow up thinking I wanted to be a business owner or an entrepreneur. It was birthed out of what I felt was a need in the marketplace that wasn't being met. And so I started the firm really with the goal of reaching clients in a higher touch manner than what I felt like where I was prior to that. And by that, I mean, you know some of my favorite quotes and from my dear friend John Evans in the Book of Wow.
Right.
I'll quote something from that where people will remember how you made them feel long after what you said or did.
Mm.
And so building my company, that was really, the culture was really around that wow factor. When somebody would hang up or walk away from a meeting or an interview, whether it was a candidate or client, I wanted them to say, wow, that's special and that's different. And that special, different culture that we built and had tremendous success, I think, was because it was thoughtful and meaningful, and I wanted it to be different. We wanted to return every phone call, and we wanted to ask 10 more questions about what you need most in the candidate you want to hire so we don't miss anything, so we can hit the bullseye and rather take longer and get it right than be quick and not be thorough with our work.
We actually had John here to do a podcast on his book, The Art of Wow. I think that's the correct title.
Yes.
But loyal listeners may remember that podcast. Those of you who are new, if you'd like to go back and search for that one, that would be a great one for you. Tell us about your leadership style in this organization, this smaller organization.
So, it was different there than it might be in other places because what I built needed high touch. So it was my clients and it was our candidates, but it was also the people that came to work at Pinnacle and the folks that started early on with me that I would tell you invested in their time and talent and perhaps risk-taking with an entrepreneur and a small business to help build it. I think the blessing for me was being in a position where I was able to help other people see past their current vision and see a bigger one for themselves. If they had a 5x7 vision, I helped them see it 8x10 and buy a bigger frame and put it in. And I'm thrilled to say I know there are some individuals that made more money and had more success and made a bigger impact than they ever saw for themselves. And that's very satisfying.
And that's a great way to say it. Get a larger frame and see yourself in it. Terrific. There's a quote by Theodore Roosevelt, our 26th president of the United States, and he says that the best executive is the one who has the sense enough to pick good men to do what he wants done and self-restraint enough to keep from meddling with them while they're doing it.
That's great.
Did you find that relevant in your small company?
Well, I don't have a meddling issue.
Good for you.
In fact, I might need to get a little bit of it every once in a while. But no, I found my strength in that organization was really creating the vision, casting the vision, and bringing people up to it. I also find that more is caught than taught. So the more I demonstrated a bigger goal and ambition and success, the more people would catch that and do it for themselves.
Good, good. You have some key words that you give as advice, and I'd like to run through a couple of those.
Okay.
And the first one is, in your business, you must be smart.
Mm-hmm.
What does smart refer to there for you?
You have to think. I think pause and think, be insightful, use everything around you, use your experiences, and it means listening.
And those are the foundations for the decisions
right. That
you make moving forward. You use patience. So one advice you would give is to be smart as a leader. The other advice would be to be patient.
Yes, I say it more than I practice it.
Okay.
But patience, you can always say something additional. You can't unsay something you said. So I think being patient to know what to say and when to say it, and we're in the business of doing a lot of talking, I think that's very important. And I think when you're patient, the answers come. So, thoughtfully patient.
Proverbs has a verse, 25:15, that says, through patience, a ruler can be persuaded, and a gentle tongue can break a bone. What is the power of patience? This links patience with persuasion. Do you see patience and persuasion together?
I do, because when you're patient, you have more clarity. You'll see further. I think the truth reveals itself with patience. When we're hasty, we don't see things. And I don't think we make wise decisions when we're hasty.
Okay. So there is a time and a pace for
yes.
a lot of things. And don't go beyond the pace.
Correct.
Another word, if I ever ask you to do this again, you're never going to say these words because I'm going to go right down the list here. Intuitive. I love that word. Intuitive. So to be a successful leader, you need to be intuitive. Tell us about that.
So intuition is one of those beautiful things. I think somewhat like wisdom, you can't give it to somebody. You have to learn it, and you have to know it, and you have to feed yourself with enough information that you use it. So we've all had those moments where, I just knew that, and we didn't listen to ourselves. And then you have to learn from that. And I always say, be careful what you say to yourself. Yourself is going to hear you. and intuition comes from listening to yourself. But what you listen to stems from what you said to yourself. So if you feed yourself with wisdom, I love Proverbs. There's 31 Proverbs. If you read one every day of the month, you can't help but to gain wisdom and intuition. Yourself will hear you, and you'll have it inside of you.
Proverbs 14:12. Actually, I've chosen a lot of Proverbs verses for you because that's your favorite
that's
book,
favorite.
I think. And 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. And in that regard, for me, it talks about the inclusion of God and God's word in what you do. How does God's word lead you to do what you need to do in an organization? That's a difficult question, I'm sure, but what is the impact of Scripture on what you do as a leader?
Several things come to mind for me. I will tell you, walk with the wise and you shall be wise. as a leader as well as a parent, and I think mostly as parents, we see these things play out. You see the impact of not so good company on your children and vice versa. And it doesn't stop until we leave this earth, that who you spend time with will shape the direction of your life. So choose that wisely. That would be one thing. And I think pursuing excellence, I've told my boys, honor God with excellence in all you do. And I think, you know, for my organization, for me to always choose excellence and choose great over good, I think that's how you live out your values. And those are foundations that I find from Proverbs that have led me. Just pursue greatness, pursue excellence in all you do, and spend time with wise people.
Great words. Explain to all of us how pursuing excellence honors God.
I feel like our life from Him is our gift, and what we do with it is our gift back to Him. And anything short of excellence I view as lazy. You know, I have an issue with laziness. And not pursuing excellence is average, and average is so yucky. I feel like mediocre is just not the place that we're called to be.
And if God has given all of us gifts and we don't use them, it's sort of like, have you ever given a gift to somebody and you've never see it again after that?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't feel real good.
It doesn't
feel real good. So honoring through excellence of use of the gifts seems to be a really big deal. You're not out of words yet.
Okay, good. What's next?
Our next word is to be resilient.
Yes.
To be resilient, to be strong. How does that fit into a leader's life?
Well, early on in my sales career, I learned that no really means next. So there's an element of that. And I think the past is behind us. So being resilient means we don't dwell in a prisoner of anything that happened in the past, for good or for bad. We have to always look forward and be resilient. And I may not be the tallest or the strongest or the wisest, but I think as long as we're headed in the direction that of excellence, it takes resilience, because things will come at you. Be it the traffic of the day, be it the plane being late, be it a candidate accepting a counteroffer, being a client choosing another firm. I mean, things will come at you that aren't what we want, but being resilient means you continue to pursue excellence in the face of everything.
Awesome. When I think of Joshua 1:9, it underscores what you're saying. And it says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So I think Christians are commanded to be engaged with courage,
mm-hmm,
and proactivity.
I agree.
Moving forward that way. Okay, terrific. I often ask people what the most difficult leadership situation they've faced is. And you reacted to that by saying, I don't know about difficulties. I'm more bent on opportunities. Talk to us.
I told you, that's a tough one for me, because none have broken me yet, and perhaps I haven't had a tough enough one, and I'm not asking for it. But I think you have to look at, like I told you, I think my style is more on the positivity side. And what do you learn from the leadership challenges, and how do you help the other people or person learn as well? And how does it head in the right direction? And it's not always a good ending, but it's the right ending. You know, whether you're letting somebody go, whether, no matter what the situation is, if you have, in my case, say, a search that isn't going as fast or as successful as you might want it, things have to progress in the right direction, even when it isn't comfortable, even when it doesn't feel good. There's got to be, you've got to face the difficulty and use wisdom to get it where it needs to be. So I think they're all learnings.
When you think about this kind of a circumstance, and you talk about the idea of excellence, and you think about the idea of strength and all of these things coming together, one of the issues that you have forwarded to me in our communication for preparation for this is that pursuing excellence in all you do every day and honoring God with excellence cannot be separated from career. And to me, that puts together the real heart of what we're trying to do here.
Mm-hmm.
How does our career honor God? how does scripture and business come together? And you say those two are inseparable for you.
I think they're incredibly inseparable. And I'm in a business where I work with people, I have such a, every day I'm talking to people, I'm interviewing people, I'm talking to clients, and it's a constant conversation. And I think we are designed to be in relationship. And I find it a tremendous blessing that what I get to do for a living involves being in relationships over and over and over. And I have to discern. I might talk to five candidates, and they're not all qualified for the job. And even if they are, they're not all five getting it. Right. So there's some tough aspects of only one's going to win. And I have to help find the right one. But there's this pursuit of excellence, and there's really only one ideal person for it. But you go through a whole lot of other conversations, and that's an impact on people's lives. So I think pursuing excellence with every touch, like some of it is that, wow, I want people to say, you know, I didn't get the job, or I wasn't the candidate that was selected to even interview for it, but it was a great experience. And that impact on somebody's life is important.
You have given us lots of good advice. And now, like we were talking about panning for gold, I want you to pan through all of this advice and come up with your pearl of wisdom. And what is the one thing, and this is something that somebody who is right now going through an office door might be able to use to navigate in the challenges and the decisions and the things that have to be done each day. What would that be?
Well, I think I should walk with the wise and you shall be wise is probably my favorite pearl of wisdom. I'd love to add to that, don't ever take advice from somebody you wouldn't trade places with.
Hmm. Tell us about that.
So I think we're all the CEO of our own life. And sometimes I think we forget that you can get advice from a lot of people. And like surrounding yourself with wise people, you consider that your board of advisors. You don't have to do what they each say, but if you really value where they come from, then it's something to consider and put in the equation. But don't put somebody on that advisory board of your life that you wouldn't trade places with. If they are where they are because of wise choices they've made, they will help point you in that direction as well. And if somebody is in a position in their life by some not so wise choices, I wouldn't seriously consider their advice about my life.
I love that. I've not heard it said quite that way, but it's very powerful. Thank you. Now I have to tell you that your time is up. Thank you, Mary Elizabeth, for being here today. Out there, you can find Mary Elizabeth with the email address, Mary Elizabeth, and let me just spell it, MaryElizabeth.sadd, last name Sod, Mary Elizabeth Sod, at cornferry.com, cornferry.com. Thanks to all of you for being here on Wisdom Wednesday. You can keep in touch with me on Facebook at chasing.wisdom or my website, chasewisdom.com. See you all next Wednesday. In the meantime, you already know what I'm going to say. Keep chasing. God bless.
You've been listening to Chasing Wisdom with host Dr. Sam Serto. We would love to hear from you regarding this podcast. You can reach us at northlandchurch.net/chasingwisdom. We will be here each Wednesday with a fresh look at being a wiser leader in business, Bible, and life. Want to reach out to Dr. Serto? Email him at sserto@rollins.edu.